Blog Talk Radio.
It is Saturday night, which means it's wrestling night in America here on PWTorchDailyCast.com. Good Saturday evening for October 8th, 2022. This is the Extreme Rules post-show following that WWE Premium Live event. So the Extreme Rules just went off the air. We are going on the air live on PWTorchDailyCast.com. Thank you to those of us who are joining us either live here on Saturday night, or if you're watching on delay, we welcome you as well. Extreme Rules ended with the anticipated return of Bray Wyatt. As expected, the payoff to the White Rabbit vignettes, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But this is a joint post-show. It's a joint Bound for Glory Extreme Rules post-show, as Bound for Glory was last night, the signature pay-per-view for Impact Wrestling. So we'll be taking phone calls and emails on both of those topics tonight. If you want to talk about either one of those shows, we welcome your feedback. 515-605-9345. Press 1 to show up in the queue to talk. Or you can email us at wnialivecast@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing from folks. I'm going to run down the shows, the results, and my initial thoughts, and then we'll get into the phone calls. Again, love hearing from you guys on these post-shows. You are what make this train roll. So just a reminder that we are here every weekend on PWTorchDailyCast.com, mostly Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, taking your phone calls and emails. On nights like tonight, where there is a WWE or AEW special event, we'll go on the air after that show goes off the air, again, as we're doing for Extreme Rules tonight. So let's backtrack to Friday night. Bound for Glory, Albany, New York, Impact Wrestling's signature event of their calendar year. And the show started off with a surprise in the pre-show. Brian Myers defeated Dirty Dango, the former Fandango, to retain the Digital Media Championship. So no word on whether or not Dirty Dango will be around in the future for Impact Wrestling. The show started with Kazarian defeating Speedball Mike Bailey to win the X Division Championship. Kazarian on loan from AEW, a veteran of Impact Wrestling's X Division, and he comes through and gets the victory. So there are two ways to look at this. First of all, obviously disappointing to end Mike Bailey's run. I was a huge proponent of Mike Bailey, thought he's done a great job as X Division champion, taking that division to really new heights in a lot of ways. And so any loss, no matter who it's against, is going to be somewhat disappointing. You could make the argument that Kazarian maybe not the right guy to lose to. Maybe you'd want a younger guy, someone who Bailey, who can keep up with Bailey in a match. You know, Kazarian's older. He's slowed down quite a bit from his prime. But still, you know, a very good match. And I don't think there's any shame, on the other hand, of losing to someone like Kazarian, even though he's not in a prominent position in AEW. He is that legacy star within Impact Wrestling and to the Impact Wrestling audience. So I don't think Bailey's going to really lose much in losing here to someone the caliber of Kazarian. Match number two saw Mickie James defeat Mia Yim in a career-threatening match for Mickie James. Mickie's career is on the line with every match. Her next loss will be her final one. It will be her final match. I didn't get a sense that there was ever any doubt to this result, but it was still a good match, and I think there's value in that. You know, even if you know the outcome, the ride being the match can still be worth it, and Mia Yim did a nice job here. She's, since returning to Impact Wrestling, I think she is a good addition and can add depth to a women's roster that saw three of the seven matches on this pay-per-view as women's matches. And so that's a healthy amount for Impact Wrestling. So a nice match. Mickie continues to work her way up the card. I had Darren Lilly on here last week with me previewing Bound for Glory and Extreme Rules. I think we both kind of came to the agreement that Mickie will probably eventually reach a title match in this chase. We'll see exactly when that is and who that's against. Match number three, Jessica and Taya Valkyrie defeated Chelsea Green and Deonna Purrazzo to win the Knockouts tag titles. Jessica, the former Havoc, has been getting a makeover lately on TV as a character, and it's been a fun ride. You know, she doesn't offer the same high level of in-ring performance that some of the other women that we saw on the card tonight and even the opponents tonight offer, but I think there is something worth pushing in her with that character and, you know, with playing off Rosemary and playing off Taya. And, you know, there is room for all types of women on Impact's roster and on every company's roster. Chelsea Green and Deonna Purrazzo, you know, you look at Deonna Purrazzo, former long-running Impact Knockouts champion, and now she's losing a Knockouts tag title match to Jessica and Taya, who are not exactly world beaters when it comes to the Knockouts division. So fans of Deonna Purrazzo may sense a little frustration here from this, but this could also potentially clear the way for either Deonna or Chelsea Green or both to return to the singles division in the women's roster and pursue the Knockouts championship. Match number four was an Impact Tag Title match. Matt Taven and Mike Bennett defeating the Motor City Machine Guns to retain the Impact Tag Titles. Solid match, as you'd expect. Maria took a bump from Mike Bennett there in that one, and Taven and Bennett retain the Impact Tag Titles. Match number five was the Call Your Shot Gauntlet Elimination Match, Battle Royal, basically, 20-person intergender match. Some of the surprises include Taylor Wilde, Tommy Dreamer, Rhino, Matt Cardona, and the winner, Bully Ray. Bully Ray looked to be in good shape. You know, this is a victory. He beats Steve Macklin in this one. And, you know, it's Bully Ray had his run, and it was entertaining in Impact Wrestling. I don't know what his role is going forward, other than he has a Call Your Shot opportunity. So we will see him moving forward in some capacity. I don't know how long or how many shows, but this is going to be a polarizing victory for Bully Ray. There are going to be people who don't like the call based on, you know, Bully Ray in general. You know, not exactly well-liked by, you know, a lot of people within the industry, a lot of people who cover the industry based on, you know, how he was booked in ROH, how he's been involved in some other things in wrestling as well. So there might be some dissatisfaction with a new person coming in and winning this type of match. On the other hand, you know, this, if you have a guy like Steve Macklin win it, which I argued last week, you know, he does hold that title for a year, that Call Your Shot Gauntlet, where he can cash it in for up to a year, I believe. So it's not something you have to go to right away. But do you – I mean, it's tough. I probably would have gone that direction. Bully Ray does give Josh Alexander another, presumably, feather in his cap at some point soon. So anything to build up Josh Alexander, who I'm a huge fan of, is a plus in my book as well. So tough one on this one. Match number six, Jordynne Grace defeated Masha Slamovic to retain the Knockouts title. I actually thought that the title was in danger here. I really believed that Masha Slamovic, the way she had been built, was had an opportunity to win this. Jordynne Grace just absolutely fantastic shape, and she posted some before and after pictures of her on Twitter, you know, from years ago to today, and she's just gotten into fantastic shape. But Jordynne Grace wins, good match. And I wasn't sure about Masha Slamovic coming in. I wasn't sure what the level of talent she was. I had some questions about that, but those have been basically put to bed after this match with Jordynne Grace. And then Josh Alexander in the main event defeats Eddie Edwards to retain the Impact title. I did think Edwards had a shot here, given the push of Honor No More, given the push of Eddie Edwards' role within Honor No More. I thought he could squeak out a title victory here over Josh Alexander. That was not the case. Bully Ray did come out and tease a cash-in with Josh Alexander. So the title that he's going to cash in against, presumably, is the Knockouts, is the Impact title, sorry. And teasing that, who knows, you know, Impact runs big shows each month on their Impact Plus streaming service. So even though their next pay-per-view isn't for quite some time, they could run this, if not at TV, then at the next Impact Plus special event. So Bound for Glory had its ups and downs. Nothing really – I thought Alexander and Edwards was really good. There was some other good stuff. So just a good show. Nothing that blew you away, as some Impact shows have done in the past. But this is just a good, solid show for Impact as they continue to stack those kind of shows on top of each other. And then Extreme Rules tonight. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania was the site of Extreme Rules. Six matches on the card. The Brawling Brutes opened the show by defeating Imperium, Sheamus pinning Vinci in the good old-fashioned Donnybrook match, six-man match, and it was – crowd was hot for this. I mean, they were – they're buying into – you can see the fans buying into this feud, and Sheamus as a top guy, really. And I tweeted this out at Greg M. Parks during the show, and you can follow me for tweeting during major wrestling events. But I think Sheamus is at a point where if WWE needed someone – to face Roman Reigns on pay-per-view. And I don't know what Reigns' schedule is going forward. He wasn't on this show. He'll be on the Saudi Arabia show, Crown Jewel. He'll presumably be at Survivor Series. I would assume the Bloodline involved in a War Games match, so you won't need a Reigns opponent for that. But at some point, whether it's, you know, I assume he skips TLC in December, Royal Rumble in January, you know, that could be a spot where if you needed somebody, Sheamus, and granted that's several months down the line, so is Sheamus going to be as hot then as he is now? I don't know. But maybe you do it at TV. You know, if you needed an opponent for Roman Reigns to challenge for the title, I think Sheamus is at a point where we can put him on that list. And that's something we talk about a lot here on Wrestling Night in America is, you know, who is a believable opponent for Roman Reigns? And I think Sheamus has gotten to the point where, you know, maybe not believable to win the match, but believable to hold his own and get in those hope spots and draw the crowd in during the match to really believe he has a chance. Match number two, Ronda Rousey defeated Liv Morgan via ref stoppage in an Extreme Rules match to win the SmackDown Women's Championship. Still no sign of Charlotte Flair here, although that is a presumed direction when Charlotte comes back. She and Ronda obviously have some unfinished business. Rousey getting the title back here was not really a surprise. Morgan's title reign had sort of petered out here at the end despite a promising start, and it always seemed like the intention was to put the belt back on Ronda after a while. This was kind of clunky. It was good in spots, but there were some spots that were contrived and didn't really work well, so it was an up-and-down match. Match number three was Karrion Kross defeating Drew McIntyre in a strap match. This was a Scarlett spraying Drew McIntyre in the face with what looked like pepper spray to finish it. Was not a lot of heat for this one, and Drew McIntyre takes a second big loss after the show in Cardiff against Roman Reigns. So it'll be interesting to see how they what the follow-up is on Drew McIntyre for that. Do they continue this Cross feud? Does he eventually get a win back against Cross? How does that work? So, you know, Cross getting the victory, this is a Triple H project from dating back to NXT, whether or not you believe in Karrion Kross, and I think there are still, with good reason, a lot of non-believers, he's going to get a lot of opportunities here in WWE. Match number four, Bianca Belair defeated Bayley in a ladder match to retain the Raw Women's Championship. All three members, or the other two members, I should say, of Damage Control getting involved in this match. Belair able to buy herself and gets the victory over Bayley here. So a lot had been building for Bayley against Bianca Belair at some point, and this was sort of the payoff. Good last few minutes. I didn't think the rest of the match was as hot as it could have been. Bayley perhaps still trying to find her form, coming back from a year-plus long layoff with the knee injury, so we give her a little slack for that. But Bianca Belair getting the victory. I thought this was a chance to change the titles if they wanted to really go ahead with Damage Control and push them pretty strongly, but instead they kept the belt on Belair here. Match number five, Finn Balor defeated Edge in an I Quit match. Edge, there was a lot going on in this match, and you know, Rey Mysterio getting involved on Edge's behalf. You had the rest of Judgment Day getting involved on Balor's behalf. Beth Phoenix getting involved on Edge's behalf. She was eventually knocked out with brass knuckles, courtesy of Rhea Ripley, and Edge only quit to stop Ripley from giving a concerto to his wife, which did anyway, like a true heel. So Judgment Day is another group that's been hit or miss, but I think that just the level of heat that was poured onto this group here at the end of one should catapult them going forward, at least into tomorrow night. We'll see what the reaction is tomorrow night and how loud of a reaction they get. But the goal here was clearly to get a ton of heat on Judgment Day. You can assume something coming with Rey Mysterio, Edge, potentially Beth Phoenix, although the way they acted, she was going to be injured and then perhaps out for some time. But eventually, those three teaming up in some combination to face Judgment Day at some point. And then the main event, which was a little bit of a surprise. You know, there was no clear-cut main event to this show. Darren Lilly and I last week had talked about Ronda Rousey versus Liv Morgan, perhaps, because of the star power of Ronda Rousey. Balor versus Edge could have gone on last. I think you could have made the argument at Belair versus Bayley. Certainly, there was an argument to be made about them going on last. But it ended up being Riddle versus Seth Rollins, Riddle getting the victory in the fight pit with Daniel Cormier as special referee. DC did not really play much of a part in this one. Riddle eventually getting the victory via submission. And then at the end, after everything had cleared, we had the lights go out. Returning characters from Bray Wyatt's Playhouse were shown. The old Playhouse set with cobwebs on it were shown. And then Bray Wyatt with the new mask came out with the lantern. He took off the mask. It was indeed Bray Wyatt. And the lantern went out and a new Bray Wyatt logo flash across the screen to end things. So that's the best I can do to sum up what we saw the last few minutes of this show. You know, this is, speaking of polarizing, this is going to be another polarizing aspect. The crowd was hot. There's a holy shit chant for the return of Bray Wyatt. And this was a character, you got to remember, that was all but done. You know, by the end of his run, fans were so tired of the nonsense that came with The Fiend. And it'll be interesting to see, we got some hints about it tonight, but what incarnation of Bray Wyatt does indeed return? Whether they go heavy toward The Fiend, whether it's the more original Bray Wyatt, something in between. I think I would, you know, get away from The Fiend a little bit and go more toward old school Bray Wyatt would be my preference. But I don't know if that's going to be the case. Certainly the lantern bringing back would be a sign that that is at least under consideration. But we'll see. You know, they'll have to follow up strongly on this in the coming weeks, as I'm sure they will. So that's my summation of Bound for Glory at Extreme Rules. I'd like to hear what you guys think. We do have some callers on hold. 515-605-9345 is the number to call. Our email is open, wnialivecast@gmail.com is where you're going to want to send your emails. I have that open during the show, so if you are listening live and perhaps it's too late to call in, you want to shoot us an email, I'll get to it during the show, so long as it's sent during the show, and I'll read it and discuss it. And, of course, you can email us anytime. As I said, we are here each and every weekend, mostly Sundays, so if you see something during the week on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, any shows that we talk about here on Wrestling Night in America, you can send us an email anytime, and we'll get to it on the very next show. So, without further ado, let's go to the phones. Who is up first? Let's take a look. It is the 478 area code. 478, is this our long time close personal friend at the 478 area code, Darrell from Georgia?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Greg?
Doing well, Darrell. Good to hear from you on a Saturday night. Interested in your thoughts on Extreme Rules.
Yes, sir. And since it's football season, man, take it back. How them Jags doing? I know you liking how they started so far.
Yeah, I'll take 2-2 at the game mark. You know, they're two-thirds of the way to their win total from last year already. So I'm happy. Their offense looks competent, which it has not looked in years. So that's good. Defense has been hit or miss, but you know, I like their chances tomorrow night against tomorrow afternoon against the Texans. And if someone is listening to this on Monday or Tuesday and they've lost to the Texans, well, that's the Jaguars for you, I guess.
Low down fumble and stuff like that. It was a little rough a game, but yeah, y'all should win that. Y'all should win that. But yeah, back to the wrestling. I like tonight's show. It was real good show tonight. To talk about the big moment that happened at the end, I thought it was the perfect moment, and I see why they had that as the main event. I really thought because Matt Riddle would be the perfect person for him to go after, and I thought they were going to have him jump on Matt Riddle after he won, because yeah. The last person that you seen the Fiend with was who? Randy Orton. Mm-hmm. Randy Orton, who is considered Randy Orton's friend, Matt Riddle. I know Randy right. Orton's not here, and come back soon. That'll be a perfect way. You had him feud until Randy come back, and there you go. Made story, which I still think they can do since he did come out there at that ending. And everything that he was saying. So, and they brought back the Firefly house all with the webs and little burnt marks still on it and stuff like that. So what do you think? Do you think that would be the perfect start? Matt Riddle just won, so he needs another program to go to. You can have that, let that build up for a while because they don't have to wrestle. You can let Bray play all the mind games he wants. And you have a long-term story to tell with it because you got with Randy coming back eventually as well. What do you think? Do you think that's a possibility of somewhere they can go?
I think the trouble with that is you're going back to a feud that people hated. You know, that's really what in part ran The Fiend and Bray Wyatt out of town. Was just that awful feud. And I don't know, when you have the fans so amped up for the return as they were in Philadelphia tonight to the point where they were chanting for Bray Wyatt during the main event, they knew what was coming, you know. I don't know if you want to go back and conjure up memories of, you know, the worst of The Fiend. You know, I think you really want to go forward with this character. You want to move ahead. You want to do something new and different that is not going to be the same, you know, quite frankly, terrible, borderline unwatchable stuff that The Fiend was doing toward the end of his run in WWE. And so, you know, I don't want to rule it out, Darrell, because anything can happen. And I think that Bray Wyatt's first feud is going to say a lot about the direction of the character. And I think those two things are going to be very tied together. But I don't think the answer is to go back and rehash something that is going to bring back really bad memories for a lot of fans who, as we saw tonight, really want to embrace the return of the Bray Wyatt character.
I got you. Even though I say you can see, and since they're doing new looks and he feel like, at that time, it was a lot of meddling with Vince and stuff like that. We want to see where it goes and how it goes. And everybody has somewhere where they moving to. Steph already moved to something else because he's going to be feuding probably over the United States title. So that's the only person that I see right now that doesn't have a person to go to, and it don't look like they building a faction for Bray, since you had Karrion Kross win tonight and stuff like that. So that would be something that you could relive and just see how you do it differently when you have all the control, a majority of the creative control for it. So that's just something different, but I understand what you're saying as well.
I think that is a good point, Darrell, that with Vince McMahon out of the picture, and there were rumblings at the time of Wyatt's release and from things that came out later that maybe he and Vince butted heads creatively about the Fiend character. You know, what does this character look like under the Triple H regime? How much input does Triple H have? How much input does Bray Wyatt have? How much input will the new creative people on staff have, you know? So I think that's all part of it, and I think that does perhaps give people a sense of positive feeling for this character, even though it was really at its worst when Bray Wyatt was released. There is some thought that, okay, you know, some of the things that maybe produced those negative that time in Bray Wyatt's character's existence where there was a lot of negative feeling about it, the people behind that, like Vince, are gone. And so, you know, there is the thought that now maybe it's a little more of a clean slate and we'll have other people kind of giving their creative input into this as well. So, yeah, look, I think that it's fine to be positive. It's fine to be excited that Bray Wyatt has come back. I think it does add something different to the WWE roster. But, you know, it's for me, it's a cautious optimism because I want to see more, a little more than smoke and mirrors. And you also have to remember once the bell rang for a lot of Bray Wyatt matches, there just wasn't a lot there. And WWE under Triple H, we've seen there was more of an emphasis on wrestling long matches, especially on TV, and more emphasis on quality in-ring work and how does Bray Wyatt or his character fit into that. So, you know, there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle still to be put together here.
Yeah, and also Matt Riddle will freshen it up because that he never did anything with Matt. So,
yeah.
And it's a different type of character. I would love to see how they play off with. I guess they're going to take Matt Riddle back to being aloof and whatever, hopefully with a seriousness too. And that's a character that needs to be, you know, updated a little bit, not going back to how it was before the Seth Rollins feud. So that's just two things that I want to see. But outside of that, I want to talk about the Bayley and Bianca Belair match, which I would have thought they would have let Bayley won it, but I guess they're going to hold off for a little while. I guess after maybe Survivor Series, and this maybe looks like where we get the women's war game out of this feud right here. What do you think about that? Do you think that's something that they probably are moving ahead towards? That's why they didn't let her win, let them build up to the Survivor Series match, War Games or something like that, then maybe afterwards?
Yeah, you know, you look at the Women's War Games match coming up, and you look at the SmackDown and Raw rosters, and where are the teams going to come from? Well, it's very easy to say that Bayley and her damage control group will be on one side. I mean, that seems pretty obvious. They're a major pushed group within WWE that I don't see being left out of that. You know, you have Bianca Belair. Who does she add to that group? You know, is it potentially Raquel Rodriguez from SmackDown? We know that WWE seems to be high on her, perhaps not as high as she, you know, as Vince McMahon was on her. But, you know, is she a candidate? Are they going to cross brands? You know, could you get conceivably a Liv Morgan or even a Ronda Rousey on Bianca Belair's team? You know, how is that going to work?
Candice
LeRae. Candice LeRae is an option as well. So, you know, with it being more storyline focused and less Raw versus SmackDown, you know, I wouldn't expect, for example, Damage Control and Bianca Belair, because they're on Raw, to all be on the same team. So you have Damage Control, maybe another woman or two, and then you have the baby faces. You know, are you going to have, Asuka and Alexa Bliss and Bianca Belair, who've been sort of teaming together against Damage Control. And is anyone from SmackDown going to come over? Or are you just going to use Ronda Rousey in the SmackDown Women's Championship, perhaps in a singles match elsewhere on the show? Because, you know, the two War Games matches will take up a lot of time, but you'll still need some singles matches throughout the show as well. So that could be a place for that, too. But, yeah, I would say it's a pretty good bet that Damage Control and Bayley and Belair, in some combination of them and others, is going to be representing the Women's War Game match.
Yes, yes, yes. You already will have four if they're doing it just Women on Raw with Bianca, Asuka, Candice LeRae, and you just said Alexa Bliss. My bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was having a brain fart for
That's
a second.
Right.
But there you go, four. Yeah. And if they're doing five, you just have to add one more person. It's just Damage Control to have to find two women. But it's good. Good to see. And it was a good match. And if you're going off of how they did them with the tag titles, they didn't win the tag team titles at first. So
yep.
The same similar story that they're telling. So mm-hmm. Want to see how they go. Now, my next thing will be with Ronda and Liv. They had Liv laugh and smile before she just went ahead and passed out. I guess that was her stating some type of weird way that she took it to the extreme to Ronda or whatever. I want to know is where would they go with this? And after that, they did play that long promo or video talking about Charlotte. Are they bringing back Charlotte after this, or are they just going to have them feud one more time and then Charlotte comes back? But How did you feel about them having Liv smile at the end instead of tapping out? I guess that's a Stone Cold bloody face moment. That and introducing with the video what they did with Charlotte.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure it'll live up to the reputation of the Stone Cold passing out in the sharpshooter moment. But yeah, it did seem to be Liv Morgan saves face a little bit by smiling while she's passing out. And I think it was kind of like you said, that affirmation of, you know, she went extreme. She succeeded and, you know, perhaps was even proud of that. You know, she's going to lose, but she did everything that she set out to do in that match. And I think she, at least her character, proved a lot of who didn't believe that she could go toe-to-toe with Ronda Rousey and perform at such a high level. So I think there's that. The Charlotte video, she'll be back. I didn't see the video. I think it was one of those things that was shown to Peacock subscribers of the higher level. And I have the lower tier, so I got just regular commercials. So because I don't remember seeing the Charlotte video package. But I'm sure, you know, part of the reason that you go with Ronda Rousey there, not only because, you know, she's one of the biggest names you have mainstream-wise, but also because Charlotte is probably coming back soon. And I would assume that they want to pick up where they left off with Charlotte and Ronda. You know, that is the feud that WWE loves, and they love to run it and run it and run it. So, you know, that's just sort of setting the table, it feels like, for Charlotte to come back and challenge Ronda for that title.
Yes, sir. And then they did let Ronda go for heel. You know, she healed by everything that they had her say at the end of that match. And it's for her, not for everybody else and all of that. But it's going to be kind of weird having Charlotte coming back, because I think that's out of all the horsewomen and things, the one thing she cannot play is a babyface.
Yeah.
She is a constant heel. So I know that people were reporting saying that they wanted to see her work on her character and try to tweak it a little bit, but I don't know how you get her to play face. But I'm interested to see where do they go with all this at the end of the day.
Yep, for sure. Anything else for us, Darrell, tonight?
Well, that was all right there, Greg, man. And, all right,
sir.
I hope your Jaguars do pull it out.
I do, too. I appreciate that, Darrell. And any support they can get, they could use, I would say. So thank you for the phone call. Always good hearing from you, Darrell. Darrell from Georgia kicking us off here on Wrestling Night in America. Again, I am Greg Parks. If you're just tuning in, this is Wrestling Night in America for October 8th, 2022, the post-Extreme Rules Wrestling Night in America, taking your phone calls and emails about that show. We go now to the 281 area code. 281, you're on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Andy from Houston, Texas.
Andy, good to hear from you again tonight. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well as well. What do you think of Extreme Rules?
Oh, I liked it. I missed, I think, the first match with Sheamus and Gunter and their teams. But other than that, I managed to catch the rest of it, and it was pretty solid. Even when you consider that Roman Reigns wasn't in the pay-per-view, I would still say, you know, everybody else carried their weight.
Yeah, I thought this was a good show. It didn't knock my socks off like the last pay-per-view did. I didn't think it was at that level, but I thought it was good. You know, there was some good performances. I think there was some. You could argue. I think that there were some maybe disappointing matches. Bayley versus Bianca Belair was good, but it may not have been where people were expecting it. Cross versus McIntyre, you know, Cross has his limitations in the ring. I talked about Rousey versus Morgan. It was kind of hit or miss. Balor versus Edge, that kind of match is not going to be for everybody. I know there's been complaints since Edge came back about his match style and slowing things down and the stories taking precedence over, like, you know, the action and things like that. So, this I could see where people might not be high on this show if, you know, you're each one of those matches I talked about, you emphasized the negative over some of the more positives on that. But yeah, the feedback so far seems to be that it was that people liked the show.
If I'm being completely honest though, Greg, I completely forgot about the Karrion Kross and McIntyre match. So maybe that's what has, you know, swayed everything in a positive direction for me here.
It could be. It could be.
So I do have 3 points I wanted to bring up. 2 should hopefully be short, but I noticed it seemed to me that the crowd was the most heavily into the Edge and Finn Balor match, as far as they were able to carry the crowd through, you know, the ups and downs, and, you know, everything crescendoed up to the very end, which I thought was pretty notable, considering that when you get to the main event, people were kind of sitting on their hands, and then when Seth tapped out, it's like people didn't realize that was the end. I guess they were all waiting for the interference, or maybe probably what it was.
Yeah.
I was going to ask about Rhea Ripley, because she's been a real highlight for the Judgment Day group, but it seems like we don't see her wrestle or do anything other than character work with Dominic right now. But I guess what do you see her role being, say, going up to WrestleMania as far as the wrestling scene goes? Do you think that she and Beth Phoenix will maybe clash when Beth recovers from that ill-fated concerto?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point about Rhea Ripley. You know, her and Dominic have this very unique chemistry together, and she's, you know, gotten a ton of heat with the Judgment Day, especially tonight with the concerto on Beth. She's done a really great job in her role. We know that she is a really good wrestler in the ring, so it does seem like it's only a matter of time before she ends up matching up against Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's title. Now, when is that? Don't know. I don't see her having a singles match with Beth, but as I mentioned earlier, I could see something happening where it's a 6-person tag match or something like that, where Edge and Rey Mysterio and Beth take on Balor, Priest, and Ripley in some way. But yeah, I think her role in Judgment Day has kind of taken over importance over her role in the women's division as a singles wrestler. And hopefully heating her up as part of Judgment Day will help her when they do transition her back into the women's singles division, and they can put her in a prominent position there. Because I think Rhea Ripley as part of Judgment Day against Bianca Belair, that's a match I'd like to see. And I think that she would have a very easy time convincing fans that she could take the belt from Belair.
Yeah, that just made me think, when you have the intergender factions, you know, where there's both men and women wrestlers in it, you'll see the women interfere on behalf of the men's wrestling matches, but I've never seen it go the opposite direction where you think that maybe Damian Priest or Finn will interfere for Rhea in one of her matches. I really think WWE is due for that kind of change-up.
Well, with the amount of interference that we're seeing in matches in general, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. So, second short point, Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle. I'm just curious if you think, judging by Riddle's reaction, that he may have broken his tailbone from that senton there. I feel like he's going to have to go through a recovery like Christian did.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a real risky move for both Riddle and Rollins. Coming from so high up there and delivering that move. It's always hard to tell because wrestlers tend to sell those high impact moves well anyway. So it was hard to say whether it's legit or not. You know, you hope it's not, because this is Riddle's biggest win in a long time, a win that I think he needed. And I argued, even though it would be 50-50 booking with Rollins having won at the last major event, having Riddle win here would be sort of that 50-50 booking that we tend to look down upon. But Riddle, I think, needed the win. And so he's really in a good place right now in terms of his place on the card. And a potential injury like that could really derail that momentum.
Oh, I agree. But I definitely think agree with you that the match – elevated both Riddle and even Seth Rollins with his cackling character, that it kind of legitimized their toughness and just their versatility.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
So, last point is, of course, the elephant in the room, Bray Wyatt. Like, I love the fact that he, you know, came in with his lantern and sort of did his old catchphrase, like, I'm here, and blew it out. And I'm kind of hopeful that he goes back to that character full circle from all the stuff he's done. But I kind of worry with all of the effects and the camera work they were doing tonight that they're going to hold on to some mystical elements or try to play some level of mind games that, I know Wade has argued, doesn't translate to a wrestling character over time. I was curious what you think his direction will be, and also, do you think with Vince gone that he won't suffer from the same halted momentum he did with his original character, where he talked a big game and then he would never win a big match?
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many questions with Bray Wyatt's return. You know, what is his character going to look like? Is it going to be a new character? Is it going to be a previous character? Is it going to be an amalgamation of previous characters? And as you stated, you know, what is that push going to look like? How does he translate the mystical parts of his character, which, as hinted to tonight, will return? How does that translate to the world of professional wrestling, which, you know, you mentioned Wade has talked about how that's difficult to pull off, and we've seen how difficult that is to pull off in front of a live crowd who tend to have very little patience for those types of shenanigans in their professional wrestling. So hopefully Triple H and Bray himself, if he has significant creative input with this character and others who have their fingers in this Bray Wyatt pie have learned from the mistakes of Bray Wyatt's last run in WWE and are able to go forward fixing some of those mistakes or at least not running into those same potholes. So that's my hope. I don't have a ton of confidence in it just because a character like this has not, you know, the intrigue is there and the buildup and people love that part of it. But when it comes down to brass tacks and getting it done in the ring, there's just historically been a lot left to be desired, not just with Bray Wyatt, but these types of characters generally speaking in professional wrestling. So if they're able to make a success out of this, it's going to go against the grain. It's going to go against history in professional wrestling. And, you know, I hope they do it, but at this point, I'm kind of in a wait-and-see mode. Like I said, I'll take the term cautiously optimistic because people are excited, and you saw the reaction from the live crowd in Philadelphia tonight. They were all in on Bray Wyatt and or The Fiend, I guess. And so there's going to be a thirst for that. But when that thirst dies down, what are you left with? And creatively, what do you have to offer from the world of professional wrestling? And so that's going to be the question that WWE has to answer.
Definitely. And I just hope that he is a decent wrestler. My biggest frustration was always that anytime he wrestled, like even back to his original character going from into WWE main roster, that there was always just crazy interference from, you know, his minions, and it's like he never wrestled a full match, so I still don't know, you know, after 8 years, whether Wyndham Rotunda is actually a decent wrestler or if it's just sort of his limitations are hidden behind all these gimmicks. So I guess we'll find out.
And not only that, but remember, everybody, and Seth Rollins even made this comment in a recent interview, but everybody who came into contact with the Fiend character, anybody who wrestled him, ended up worse off. And that's another hurdle, or another obstacle that WWE booking has to overcome. How do you make it so the people who, when they're done feuding with Bray Wyatt and The Fiend, don't look like absolute chumps and lose all credibility? And they've got to figure out a way to navigate that as well.
Exactly. Well, I guess we'll see what kind of ratings draw he becomes in the next week.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point, too. How many people tune in tomorrow night to see him?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'll let you get to everyone else.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you. 515-605-9345 is the number to call. WNIALivecast@gmail.com if you want to send an email. Back to the phones we go. The 305 area code, DJ from Miami. DJ, welcome to Wrestling Night in America tonight. What did you think of the pay-per-view?
It was all right. Nothing too crazy off the bat. You know what I mean? I don't know. The Bray Wyatt thing was, to me, is like you said, like played out a little. It's like he can't go back to the old stuff. They can't go back to what he did. And, you know, Bliss is not with him and Braun's not with him. I feel like, if anything, he should take over the Judgment Day. You know what I mean?
Ah.
It's just, what else can they do with him? Like, he's not a technical wrestler. He's a great on the mic. I really feel like if anybody can take over Judgment Day and put him over the edge, he can. And, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, that's interesting. And it kind of jives with, you know, I think the report was Vince McMahon wanted Judgment Day to go in a more mystical direction, which is why Edge left the group. That has not really come to fruition since Triple H took over. But, you know, you make a good point, generally speaking, that, you know, he doesn't have Alexa Bliss, and hopefully he doesn't get her back because that was not a great Alexa Bliss character. You know, Braun Strowman in the very early days of Bray Wyatt was with him. So Wyatt seemed at various points during that character's run to always be working with someone else. And
yeah,
if you want him to be, you know, old school cult leader Bray Wyatt, Judgment Day would seem to be ripe for the picking in terms of a group that he can sort of take over that does not, and by design, according to Finn Balor's interview on Raw, by design, they don't have a leader anymore when they kicked Edge out. So maybe they'd be seeking one in Bray Wyatt. I don't know. But I guess it really all depends on which Bray Wyatt character we see. If it's the Fiend, it probably doesn't really fit with Judgment Day. But maybe if it's the more... even the name Judgment Day sort of fits with the old school Bray Wyatt character, you know? And so if that's more of what they lean into, then yeah, I could see a scenario where he would take over Judgment Day. But, you know, it really all depends on which Bray Wyatt we get.
I just hope they bring back Cole one, because that's the one that everybody went crazy for in the beginning, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's just like the announced team. It's just like they keep on switching them, and, you know, the best announced team was, like, you know, JR and he's a king. It's just like they keep on switching them. It's just like you can never go back to what was great, you know, in the beginning, you know?
Right. Yeah, and maybe they go to
we'll see on that one.
Direction.
My next thing is, I guess, EAW real quick with Andrade. I don't know what he's thinking, but, like, if you're ever fighting somebody and you want to go to another company, that looks like a bad employee. Like, why would you want to bring back somebody who's fighting? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just never know. Like, not everybody gets to get, you know, a friend, or, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, you're going to keep on fighting and you're going to keep on getting sent home because Tony said he's not going to fire him, but, you know, every time he fights, it's just going to look bad on him in front of Triple H.
Yeah, the latest backstage drama with AEW is Andrade and Sammy Guevara getting into it at the Dynamite tapings, Andrade being sent home. There's talk that he wants out of his contract. Look, Triple H knows Andrade and probably knows that this is a play to try to get out of his contract, so... I don't think this would be held against him in terms of if Tony Khan ended up granting him his release and he was eligible to sign with WWE, I don't think this backstage altercation would hold WWE back from signing him, because I think Triple H would see it as, oh, you know, he was trying to get out of his contract to come here, and so this is how he tried to do it. So I think that's more of how they would view it.
All right. But he's not that good of a wrestler. That's why I was...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's certainly an opinion. You know, that's fair.
So we'll see on that one. That was a spot that I had to ask on that one because, you know, it's like, I feel like to me, if you fight somebody, it's a bad employee, but, you know, that's what I was asking.
No, I understand, and I think normally it would be, but I also think that given the rumblings about him wanting to get out of his contract, this could be seen by his potential future employers as he's not really a bad employee who gets into fights. He's only getting into a fight because he wants to leave, and this is how he's thinking of doing it.
Yeah, I think that was funny. But my last thing is that the Moxley thing, he signed for another 5 years. I guess CM Punk's not going to come back, so they're going to try to push him. But I don't know why they would push him compared to Daniels. Like, you know, Danielson came in last, and he was such, you know, he was a great heel. And then now they turn him babyface. It's just like they cooled him off. But now that Moxley got signed, I guess they're going to really start pushing him again really hard.
Yeah, Moxley signed a 5-year deal with AEW, putting to bed any rumors that he was interested in coming back to WWE, which I never really bought in the first place. They were out there, but I didn't really buy them.
I neither.
You know, I think since Punk, since the altercation at All Out, and Moxley, his promo on the next Dynamite, and, you know, just sort of taking a leadership role, it seems like, within AEW, you know, he's a guy who I think Tony Khan really wants, you know, a guy that he wants to go in the foxhole with, so to speak. You know, a guy who he trusts, a guy who wants to be that leader in a way that maybe some others, even some executive vice presidents, didn't really have the capacity to be. So those are the kind of guys you reward if you're Tony Khan. So everybody else in the locker room can see, hey, you know, if you stand up, you do the right thing, you lead by example, or even, you know, I think he was one of the guys who called a meeting after All Out to sort of hash things out and to talk things out with the roster. You know, if you stand up like that and be a leader of the locker room like that, you're going to be rewarded. I think that's what Tony Khan was signaling here with the signing.
Do you think that now that he's signed, do you think they're going to break up them, or do you think that they're going to keep on going with them? Because now they're going to really push Moxley.
You mean
Moxley.
Blackpool Combat Club?
Yes, yes.
Well, he's getting a push and he's still in the group, so I don't see why they would need to break them up with this re-signing. You know, no group goes forever, so maybe at some point they do, and they do some sort of, you know, Bryan Danielson, John Moxley feud, or even if Wheeler Yuta gets hot enough, they could do that. But no, I don't see this as a precursor to a breakup or anything like that.
Yeah, I was just wondering because, like, the MJF thing, so I didn't know if he was going to come in and blow it up or something crazy, and then they were going to just totally 100% push Moxley. You know what I mean?
You know, Moxley is getting, like I said, Moxley is getting a big push. I mean, he is the AEW champion, and he's still part of Blackpool Combat Club, so you don't need to leave that to get a big push.
But you don't think they're going to put the belt on MJ on him, though, right? You think Moxley will definitely keep it, though?
Well, no, I don't know. I wouldn't say that. You know, there is a school of thought that MJF has potentially already re-signed with AEW. I have no inside information about that, but I know that speculation is out there that, you know, Tony Khan would not have brought him back unless he re-signed or something of that nature. So, you know, there's a lot of time left, and I don't know. Whatever Tony Khan's mindset is, he has to, and I think the mindset might be a little different now than it was even before All Out, before all of this backstage drama, is, you know, do you want to reward MJF at this point in AEW's existence? You know, and what does that say to the locker room to reward someone like that? Unless everything has been a work from the start, which I don't think it was. But yeah, I mean, you're sending a message to the locker room with every title change, and you have to ask yourself if you're Tony Khan, is putting the belt on MJF really anytime soon? Presumably they have their match at Full Gear, but is that a message that you want to send to this locker room at this moment? So I don't know. Tony Khan, he's in an unenviable position in a lot of ways here. So he's going to have some tough decisions to make coming up.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about. A couple of things I didn't know, like, what he was going to do. He, you know, he thinks he's the Booker of the Year, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah. All right.
That's it.
Thank you for the call, DJ.
I'll see you next week.
All right, sounds good. All right, we have one more call on hold. We'll get to that, and then we'll sign off for the evening. This is the 323 area code, 323. You're on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, my name is Abel. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Abel, good to hear from you tonight. Thanks for calling in. What did you think of Extreme Rules?
First time, long time. This was actually a really fun pay-per-view to watch. Got to enjoy it with my son. It's been a while since I could actually say that. Just going down the card, I think it was well laid out. I don't know. Like, I want to give credit to Triple H and everything, but it was definitely enjoyable. I mean, I will say that. Dusted off my Wyatt Gym shirt today, just in case, and it definitely paid off. So I think that was exciting. I mean, all the lead up to that was very exciting. I mean, I feel like everyone knew it was happening. Hold on. I have some notes actually. First and foremost, I feel like Extreme Rules was not just a TLC pay-per-view. I think that was really the drawing point for me. I think that was really fun. The Fiend is dead, right? I mean, there was no mask. We actually got to see his face, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
I really hope they bring back the family to some extent. I know there's talks about, like, giving them Braun and Loomis and Cross, so I hope something comes of that. Because I heard the previous caller mention how, and yourself mentioned how, everyone that faced them prior kind of just died in a sense. So I hope it becomes more of a ongoing character as opposed to that. I mean, one big standout was, I mean, the WWE production is just untouchable. Just the nuances of just having like the different characters in different parts of the arena. I mean, that was incredible just to lead up to like a character that, I mean, like I mentioned, was everyone knew was coming, but I think that was, that was great. I trust Triple H is really the one thing, right? Like, it was great. I mean, I felt like I really enjoyed it. Like, I felt like I could have that suspension of disbelief for like this one pay-per-view and just kind of roll with it. But yeah, it felt from like start to end, it was such a great pay-per-view. I mean, even the opener with Sheamus and Gunther, I think that was a great kickoff match because it just set the tone for like the rest of the night, and that crowd was amazing.
I'll speak on a couple things there, Abel. Certainly the opener was, I think you said it, set the right tone for the show. And it just, the crowd was so into it. I was surprised how into it they were, to be honest with you. You know, some of that is probably the first match on the PLE is going to get fans excited. But a lot of it, I think, was just the work that Sheamus and Gunther and the booking team have done to get these guys to this point. And the work they've put into this feud, which has been really well done so far. And the buzz coming off of the Sheamus Gunther match from Cardiff. And I think that's a big part of it as well. The Bray Wyatt stuff, you know, like I said, it's going to be polarizing. And you, for example, very excited about it. I understand that. It's an exciting character. The possibilities are quite literally endless. It breaks the wall of professional wrestling. You know, as pro wrestling fans, we have certain expectations, and we know that pro wrestling is this, but it's not that. And so when we watch Monday Night Raw and we watch SmackDown, we expect this because this is what pro wrestling is. We don't expect that because that is not pro wrestling. But the Bray Wyatt character sort of breaks those norms, and everything that he does is typically not what pro wrestling is, and yet we see it on a pro wrestling broadcast. So the character opens up so many possibilities from storytelling point of view, from angles, from, you know, characters and things like that. That is the reason to be excited about the character. The execution has always been the sticking point, and it's been hit or miss, but when they miss, they've missed terribly. And I think that is the fear. And that is what's holding a lot of people back from putting their arms around this character's return. You see on social media, it's very split, the reaction to Bray Wyatt's return. And I think it's because, you know, people either hate that mystical, supernatural stuff in their pro wrestling. You mentioned the suspension of disbelief. There are a lot of people who find what he does outside of their suspension of disbelief. You know, they can suspend their disbelief for Irish whipping someone into a corner, but they can't suspend their disbelief for some of the stuff that Bray Wyatt does in an arena in front of live fans. Yeah, I mean, some of it is just too, it's a bridge too far for people, and I get that. So that's going to be one of the things, you know, we've talked so much about Bray Wyatt here already tonight, and we'll talk more about him going forward as well, but just how, if that reaction changes, if the booking of him is different than it was previous, if there's new ideas and tighter scripting of it, do some of those fans who were hesitant about Bray Wyatt returning, do they come around and they say, you know what, this is a version of Bray Wyatt I can get behind? And so the reaction from the fans, both sides of the fence, whether you like Bray Wyatt or you don't, that's going to be another thing that's going to be really interesting to watch as this character is sort of reintroduced to the WWE universe.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be exciting. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Do you think, so for example, like Karrion Kross and like Matt Riddle, do you think they just move on from like these feuds and go somewhere else from now? Because I know they've revisited these a couple of times.
Yeah. I think Riddle has a better chance of moving on right now than McIntyre. I don't see the McIntyre-Cross deal as being done, but I could buy Riddle and Rollins being done. I do feel like they've gone as far as they can. They've gotten a lot out of that. There have been some really good matches, some really good moments that those two have shared in terms of telling the story. But I do think that I do think we see more of McIntyre and Cross.
Okay. Yeah, because I was like thinking of just like old school, like where the cage match was like that blow off, right? So I think like to your point, like Matt and like Seth, it's kind of like, all right, this is it. We're just gonna kind of end it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It did have that feeling to it. Anything else tonight, Abel?
No, that was it. I mean, thank you for doing these calls at the end. Like I said, first time, long time. It was great. And I mean, I look forward to listening to the rest of your cast. So thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, Abel, thank you. And hope to hear from you again. Call in anytime. Love to have you again on the show.
Awesome.
So, you know, always, yeah, it's a great mix, you know, especially on these pay-per-view nights or PLE nights. We get a great mix of the folks who call every week and the folks who call only on PLE nights, or the folks like Abel who've been longtime listeners and first-time callers or emailers. You know, it's always always fun to hear from the wide range of listeners that we have for Wrestling Night in America, dedicated listeners, dedicated callers, contributors to Wrestling Night in America. I say it as often as I can, but the listeners, the callers, the emailers, they're what make the show. I'm just here to sort of I'm the conduit of their thoughts. So that's kind of my take on my role. But that's it for the calls. No emails tonight to get to. So again, you know, wnialivecast@gmail.com is where you can send emails anytime during the week that we'll get to the next week. And we'll be here again next Sunday night. So we'll deal with the fallout from Extreme Rules on Raw and SmackDown this week and already start looking ahead to some big events we have in November, AEW pay-per-views. We've got Crown Jewel coming up. We've got Survivor Series in November as well. So hardly time to take a breath, and before you know it, it'll be WrestleMania season, and what a wild season that always is. You can follow me on social media on Twitter at Greg M. Parks. Again, I try to tweet during each PLE, so for my thoughts and interactions, happy to interact with fans there, and try to tweet during the shows during the week, although I have not been as vigilant about that as I'd like to be, but hopefully I get back on track this week. So please feel free to follow me there, and don't forget to tune in next week, next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, pwtorchdailycast.com. I'll have a member of the PW Torch family as my co-host to deal with the fallout of Extreme Rules. So once again, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening here tonight. I am Torch columnist Greg Parks, and I'll talk to you again next Sunday, because if it's Sunday, it's Wrestling Night in America.